Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Delve. My name is Nathan. On this episode, we continue our interview with Aran and Aviv, who are the creators of Up to Four Players and Crystal Heart. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the Kickstarter that just launched for Crystal Heart, which is going to be a setting now for Savage Worlds. We need to know a lot about the setting itself, and we need to know a lot more about Savage Worlds because going into this, Alex and I have really not talked about it on the show, nor were we particularly familiar with it. Luckily, Aran and Aviv are, and they were able to give us quite a bit of insight in that regard. Please enjoy.
We've never actually had someone on our show talk about Savage Worlds before. I know you guys didn't create Savage Worlds, but...
Oh, no.
Could you give us a little bit of info on what that's like for us? Because we're not familiar with it.
Sure. Aviv, you just ran a game in Savage Worlds a few days back. How about you give the intro?
Will do. Actually, Savage World has just now finishing an incredibly successful Kickstarter for their next edition. So maybe some of the things I'm going to say are not going to be true for much longer, but I think the core rules have not changed much.
That's one of the brilliant things about Savage Worlds. Every edition is basically the previous one, only a bit better. It's not like in D&D, for example, where you can't really play a character from this edition with any of the previous ones. Mm. But in a way, it's just version 5.whatever of the same thing in Savage Worlds for like 15 years now.
It's just taking what you've built on and making it better and refining it.
Making it better. Yeah,
exactly.
That's awesome. So the main thing about Savage Worlds is that it's a generic system. It's not like D&D where you get a whole world, specifically a fantastic world that you have to kind of have to play in. With Savage Worlds, it's just a set of rules that you can apply to any genre, to any world that you want. And there are loads of worlds, loads of setting books. Crystal Heart is one of them. And they cover every genre and every world: fantasy, sci-fi, Wild West, Cthulhu, everything you want. You'll probably find it existing already for Savage Worlds. The system is, I think it's super simple. I mean, it's probably not really that simple, but maybe it's just the way that Aran has introduced me to it that has made me see it as kind of, oh, okay, yeah, that's super simple. So instead of... D20 based systems where you roll one die and then you add your attribute or skill or whatever to it. In Savage Worlds, each of your skills and each of your attributes has a die. So if you're okay at something, you get a d4. And if you're amazing at something, you get a d12. And you roll that one and you just need to pass 4. That's all you need. Super simple. My favorite rule, my absolute favorite rule about Savage Worlds is that dice explode. So if your die lands on the highest result, you roll it again and you edit through the results. And that is, that can just make things explode amazingly. Yes. Incredible successes where there was no chance for it happening. Unfortunately, it could also happen to your enemies, but that's just how it is. Oof. Also, because you are big damn heroes, you get to roll a wild die. So just a d6 that goes with any die roll, always, just to give you a better chance of succeeding whatever it is you're trying to do.
It's one of the strangest things in Savage Worlds. It took me a long time to get used to this. Like, imagine that in D&D, you would roll a d20, and then on the side, you would also roll a d10. And you check them separately, you don't add them. There's just a chance that you might succeed thanks to a different thing, not your ability. Not your whatever, just a D10, because you're
just
the hero of the story.
Yeah, this is your story. Hmm. You deserve a better chance than just the mooks.
But do I deserve that chance? Some people would say no.
I think we do. Yeah.
So on the flip side of that, is there a chance to not succeed because of a dice? If you, it's almost like a luck mechanic to me, but what if you have someone who's like, unlucky.
The main problem with Savage Worlds is modifiers, because the numbers are very low. Even a -1 on your roll can be disastrous. I mean, it really depends on what you're rolling, but A minus four is basically saying you're not going to make it unless something explodes, quite likely. Or you're the best, like D12, etc. I mean, it's not the same as saying plus 10 in D&D, for example, because you will not be consistently getting the thing. Ah, this is getting into statistics, but...
but it is definitely more luck-based than D&D.
Yes, yes. You get more exaggerated results in an unpredictable manner. But that's part of the fun of Savage World.
Oh, okay.
And to kind of mitigate that, there's also a mechanic called bennies. Each player gets usually three bennies, just three tokens at the start of every session, that you can just spend one to reroll an unsuccessful roll. And that is super powerful because you can see in players just the wheels in their brain trying to figure out if this is an important enough roll. So do I need to spend a penny on this or do I not? But it does give you the chance to, this was really important and it failed just because of stupid luck. I want to try it again.
Well, that's nice. It seems like a very forgiving system in that way.
I don't know. It's really lethal. It can be really lethal because it has no hit points. And it doesn't matter how powerful or strong you get, you will always only have three wound levels. By the way, people that are not amazing, super powerful heroes like us only get one wound level. And because dice explode, you can get for example, four or five wound levels in a single hit. And a goblin can do it. The smallest goblin can get an explosion out of nowhere and basically kill you.
Mm-hmm.
There are several ways to prevent it, but you need to know what to do. You need to keep some bennies.
Yeah.
You soak the roll in some way. Mm-hmm. And you need to be aware of the type of game you are playing.
Right.
This is a pulp high adventure game. This is a thing that you play Indiana Jones with this.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones doesn't have hit points.
No.
And none of the people that he attacks have hit points.
Right.
He can overcome everything that's in his way, but sometimes out of nowhere, something horrible is going to happen, or out of nowhere, he's going to make that amazing roll or whatever, and it's not a 5% chance. It's not a 1 in 20 chance.
I had been playing in a system that actually used exploding dice called Open Legend, and yes.
We almost went with Open Legends, by the way.
I was the...
Instead of Savage Worlds.
My bona fide, I was the GM for their official live play podcast. For as long as that lasted. But one of the people who was part of the Open Legion had posted, they had one of those cases where they had a withered skeleton. And the withered skeleton, the dice exploded, twice for it. And it, killed one of their player characters.
And
I was like, wow. Well, that worked out well. Good.
It happens. You can't. I really like Open Legend for the power system that they have there. It's really intriguing for me, and we almost went with that because of the power system.
Right. But I'm interested because, in Open Legend, they do use hit points, so the wound system is really interesting. So, if I start accruing, because I'm going to, I start accruing those wounds, what does that actually do to my character?
Oh, you don't want even a single one.
No, it's horrible.
I'm going to have all
of them.
Just, I'm telling you right
now.
You get three
every
wound
single
levels.
Wound
yeah.
Gives you a minus one to everything you do.
Oh.
Everything. Even trying to heal yourself or, get out of that shaken state you get into once you're hit. Mm. Everything.
Oh.
Just, you have a wound, it's a minus one to everything, and then you get another one, it's a minus two to everything. And minus two in Savage Worlds is loads. So just, try not to get hurt, man.
There are ways. You can use bennies to soak damage.
Yep.
You can try to be clever and use all of the bonuses. There are many interesting combat maneuvers you can do. Simple things that you can do, and you probably should.
Right.
You should fight smart, not hard.
That's always a good advice in general.
But, in life as well.
It reminds me of the Warhammer 40K RPGs, where light wounds are easy to heal, but heavy wounds will really impede your ability to do a lot, and it's really hard to heal from, which is nice for an action-paced game.
Yes.
But it also becomes very brutal very fast.
We played Warhammer Fantasy 3rd Edition, which is a brilliant game. It was the forefather for Genesis by Fantasy Flight Games. And it had sort of hit point-like thing, but that sort of hit point-like thing was you can recover it very quickly. The problem was critical wounds, because they would never go away. So if even you get one or two of them, they, first of all, each of them has a unique hindrance attached to them, like from now on your left leg doesn't walk correctly, so you can't run or whatever. And it takes ages to get rid of them. And I like it because I really enjoy ongoing injuries. I think they're great.
I'm going to have to agree with you. Fantasy Flight, for all the issues with their Warhammer RPGs being clunky, those critical hit charts were in-depth and amazing.
Really? I only started playing a bit of Rogue Trader, but that percentile, I couldn't. It wasn't for me.
Yeah, it can be a little bit pain in the butt to wrap your head around that one.
So wounds are bad, basically, is what I'm getting out of that. And it's a negative feedback loop that I don't want to get into.
Exactly.
Gotcha. That actually brings us to, finally, talking about a little bit about Crystal Heart as a role-playing game, which is coming to Kickstarter this month. And so, in terms of a campaign setting inside of Savage Worlds, what are we looking at? What can we expect from Crystal Heart as a product, as a thing I can play with my own player characters?
Well, first, there's going to be a ton of art, obviously, in it, and all of it by Aviv.
Aviv, did you do the do you draw the webcomic too, or?
Oh yeah. I'm the artist, and Alan is the writer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So the art is inspired essentially by the webcomic, or is it a little different?
It's going to be pretty much the same style. Obviously, there will be some changes because it's not an ongoing comic. It's not sequential art. It's just single pieces.
Sure.
So hopefully it means I can put some more detail and thought into it, because then I don't have to redraw it for the next 30 pages. But in terms of style, it is going to be fairly the same thing, yes.
It's really powerful to have, as a game designer, it's really powerful to have a graphic designer working with you in such a way. I mean, and she's a player, she's part of the story, she knows what's going on in the webcomic, obviously, because she can be really useful. Art is such a powerful way to convey information. It can be really useful, and I'm looking forward to using that in some way in the final product. And we're going to have, well, generally speaking, Savage World settings have a basic sort of structure, because there are so many of them. There's a specific structure that works, and we will be imitating it mostly. It begins by providing you everything you need to create a character, describing what's different. Most of the book is what's different about this setting than the original Savage World. All of the edges and hindrances that we are going to create, and actually already created, having a mentor, working as a team for an organization, what does it mean mechanically? What does it mean during character creation? Then we continue into describing scene, the organization. And then we continue to describing the world. And in all of the descriptions, we are focusing, obviously, on what's interesting to play in this. What is cool in this land? What sort of adventure hooks can we find here? What is the theme of this land? What sort of annoying things can Sin do to you, the player? Here's a table of Sin has a demand for you. Let's roll in it and see what happens. Stuff like that. And obviously we're going to have a lot of crystals and some...
Sure.
Well, it's not monsters. We'll have a bestiary, but the world that we convey don't have monsters. It has unusual animals.
Oh,
and
okay.
We're going to have some of those.
And
so
also,
it's kind of like Australia.
yes. Actually, yes. That's yeah.
Yeah. And part of the thing about this world and about crystals is that when they are in the wild, they have they're called feral crystals, and they do strange stuff to their environment.
Yes.
So something that would be a normal, nice, fluffy beast normally is around a crystal, and suddenly it becomes a monstrous ball of fur, complete with all the teeth, all the claws, just because it's near a crystal.
Oh. Generally speaking, we separate the bestiary into three parts. There are people, and there are a lot of... We only have humans, but, you know, there are quite a lot of types of humans and things that they want to do to you. Mm. And
all with you.
All with you. All with you. Not in the bestiary, though. we'll have animals, which is things like the white horse, which is a giant squirrel.
Of course.
Obviously. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, I got that from the description, yeah.
And leviathans that are used as sort of, how do you say, an animal that does walk for you? A walk animal? Is that a thing?
A pack animal?
Something like that, yeah. But they do all sorts of things for you, but they are giant leviathans. And finally, we'll have these feral, corrupted versions of all sorts of stuff, because that's cool, and they can have magical abilities.
Of course. That's the best part.
Yes.
So the main quest lines are sort of revolving around the idea that I have to seek out those crystals and also fix kind of the things that are happening with that crystal and how it influences its environment.
We separate everything, apparently. But yes, we separate the campaign, the Crystal Heart campaign, the classic Crystal Heart campaign, into like three parts.
Okay.
You start by being novice characters, which is... something that Savage World has. It has five ranks: novice, seasoned, veteran, heroic, and legendary. And you start by being novice agent, and you go around the world following a specific route that was given to you by the people of Sin, saying, there are crystals along this route, get them. So that's adventure after adventure after adventure. Mm-hmm. And they are very episodic, meaning we are not going to follow every part of the way. We are going to start and end. Well, that's my suggestion, of course. You do whatever you want to do. But start and end wherever there's a crystal or something interesting and play that. Mm. Then, after you graduate to seasoned and whatever, you've already started seeing a grander picture, something like a conspiracy going on or something from the bygone age or something was in the background during these adventures. Mm. And now you are going to go out into the world and try to find out what it is. You finished your route. Now you're basically free to go and do something as long as Sin allows it. And when you finish with that, you become a free agent. You can do whatever you want. You're a veteran or a heroic or something really powerful. And by now, that conspiracy or whatever is coming to full fruition, and you'll have to fight it, and you'll end the campaign when you defeat or get defeated by whatever it is that was happening behind the scenes this whole time. That's how I imagine a campaign for Crystal Heart, and we will provide whatever tools I can to GMs to make sure that this can actually work.
And that kind of leads you to the Kickstarter for it. So what can we expect from the Kickstarter? First of all, like, what is your goal for the Kickstarter?
To get the book out.
Okay, well, that's a good goal. but what is the funding level that you're trying to get to?
Well, we look around to compare ourselves to other Savage Worlds. And first, most Savage Worlds books, I think, are in US dollar, because not many people play Savage Worlds outside of the US, which is so annoying to me. We are, of course, in the UK, in London.
Right.
We'll be using pounds then, the British pound.
Yes.
And I can't give you final numbers because I don't remember.
If you go to the Kickstarter page, you'll be able to see
the
minimum goal that we went with, sure. Which is set to fund the book itself with a certain level of art, not the full range of artwork that we envision for it.
Okay.
But that's going to be one of the earlier stretch goals. So hopefully we get that too.
Okay.
We have the advantage of having a big community already, thanks to the webcomic.
Sure.
So we're hoping to convince them that this book is worth it, especially those of them that don't play role-playing games. We really want them to try and play role-playing games. We've released a free starter set for them to play role-playing games.
Yeah.
And it would be really helpful if they invest, because then we can get to stretch goals like, having the full book with all the art that we really want to have. And having, oh my God, I would love to have an action deck. Savage World uses cards sometimes for all sorts of things. So having our own custom deck of cards, it's going to be amazing.
A custom deck of cards. That does sound fascinating. I want those cards. Yeah.
So do we.
The Ace of Spades. No, it's not.
I envision the deck of cards having crystals on them.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
That does make sense.
There's also a thing called an adventure deck that Savage Worlds have. It's a 52 deck of cards, and each of them has a special thing that happens. And the players get them at the start of the game. They get like one or two each, and they can use them during the game. And they have things like when you arrive to a new place, there's already someone that you know there, and you can talk to them, and they can give you information. Or when you finish someone off, use this card, and everyone around is super intimidated by you because of how amazing you were when you finished them off. Mm. And it's really cool. It's so awesome. We love it.
It's an amazing accessory. And we'd so want to do this for Crystal Heart.
Yes.
So yes, you know, the more money we get, the more cool things we can do.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah. I like the idea of integrating cards into it. It feels like it gives you a lot more player choice by being able to work with that.
It gives the players some narrative control that I think it's very limited. You can do this thing, but it's so empowering.
So the wounds are still going to be in Crystal Heart, I imagine, from Savage Worlds.
We're changing very little. The main thing that we actually, I think, obviously we created the crystals.
Sure.
That's a new thing for Savage Worlds, but it uses the basic concept. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, we barely touch the system. It works really well. There's not a lot that we need to do.
don't fix
if it ain't broke.
Don't fix what ain't
broke. Exactly.
Absolutely. So a lot of it is actually creating the narrative part of it.
Yes, and well, there's a thing called setting rules in Savage Worlds, which is not exactly fixing, but more of, well, in this world, things work like this because we want you to have this experience.
Sure.
So, for example, we have a setting rule that says that you're probably not going to die. You might, actually, we might change this in the final book, but currently, there's a setting book that says you're probably not going to die because when you're supposed to die, you instead not die, but something bad happens. Or stuff like that. But yes, everything that's not rules-based, and there's not, as you said, there's not a lot that's rules-based, is going to be, hopefully, I don't want to say setting material, because whenever I say that, I'm thinking back to the books from the Red Box of D&D, where they provided you with 52 pages of the politics of this land and economy. I don't care about any of that. I care about interesting things that can happen to my characters.
Sure.
So that's what we'll be aiming to do.
That is terrific. Do the characters that are in the comic, do they show up as like NPCs in the role-playing game?
No.
No?
Oh, right. No. They're mine.
They're yours.
They're mine. They're not yours.
No, you cannot. No.
You cannot have them. No, really. But there's a reason for that. Because we don't want to say what the character sheets are like. Because then we commit to specific numbers.
Ah.
And we can't then change it later for whatever story reasons in the story.
Yeah, then it's canon.
But Aviv, yeah, exactly. We don't want to canonize them too much. Then the players will, and the readers. But Aviv had a brilliant idea instead. And the starter set comes with four iconic characters that will be the main characters of the book.
Like Tordek and Lydia from D&D.
Exactly. That's exactly like that.
Yeah, so they wouldn't be main characters in the same way that the comic has main characters, because they're not following a specific story so much. But yeah, whenever we need to show an example of something happening, we'll use these four. Actually, five. There's going to be five.
Yeah.
Five people from the five lands. It's very, very convenient.
Just looking through some of the supporting cast, I want to know the character that Mrs. Studebaker makes.
Yes. we had a thought, maybe we'll do a one-shot. Maybe we'll have some of the supporting cast from previous years come along and play something, but that's unlikely to happen anything.
Right. I just think that like there's got to be a character that smacks me over the head with a cane or something that feels like a...
Yeah, that's her.
That's her, yeah. Sounds good. She gives me all the wound points immediately. Yeah. I get all the wounds immediately.
One thing I think that is, I hope is interesting, is the fact that we teach Savage Worlds in the comic. Because mechanics is so important when you tell a story about role-playing games, because the rules are, I don't say everything, but they are instrumental to the experience. Mm. That we had to explain Savage Worlds. So in a way, in the webcomic, we are confined to what we've already described, and we do add more and more rules as we go along, but also get a bit, I mean, we no longer show every role. We can just show the results or make an assumption that there was a role somewhere in the background. Mm-hmm. We do, however, keep showing new things. And one of the things, for example, that we've showed was interludes, which is an awesome mechanic that we really like from Savage Worlds, where when you have some time, like downtime, you sit with the other players. Maybe the GM wants us to have some time pass. And to present that, he says, okay, let's do something in the real world that takes some time, and that will make us feel like some time passed in the fictional world. So one of you guys will now tell a short story about their character, something from their past. And you take a card, pick a card, any card from the deck, and the suit tells you what sort of story you're going to tell about your character. And that's a mechanic that I really, really like. It gives you an opportunity to add something cool, short. You're going to talk for like 3 minutes. Not too long. And it gives you some constraint because it tells you, yes, this has to be a story about a victory because you pulled a diamond. Or this has to be a story about passion because you pulled a heart. And I think it's awesome. It's a great way to create mini stories during the campaign. We are going to use some of this in the Crystal Heart book as well because I really want to. And there are many open places where we need to fill up with stories, like your relationship with Sin. Do you enjoy working for Sin? Sin is really big in your life. What do you feel about it? Where do you stand compared to Sin? Right. Well, let's draw a card and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like that because it adds narrative incentive to players and characters, but it does it mechanically and almost organically.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's really neat. Like, in my mind, I feel like you could have the suits represent something, and you could have the low side of the suit represent like a failure or a loss or something that wasn't that great, and then the higher cards in the suit could be like, woo, total victory, you got an ace, or maybe an ace could be either or something like that.
That's interesting. Maybe there's always a problem with Savage Worlds. Savage Worlds is about being fast, furious, and fun, so you always want to add a bit more mechanic to something that's happening. Because you can, it seems awesome, but maybe you shouldn't, because you want the story to continue, you want the game to carry on. For example, where do you draw the line? What is low? Is 5 low or is 6 low? Do we need to now open the book to check? Because then it takes, it's another rule we need to know. Let's just draw something, tell something, and continue. That's how Savage Worlds usually thinks.
Fair.
The less time you spend on figuring out the mechanics, the faster it is, and the more fun you're having.
I'll give you another example related to this, and it's a thing that I'm still unsure of. When you have some very powerful crystals, when you draw a heart during combat, because you always draw during combat, then something cool happens to you during this specific turn. I think it's really awesome, but it's something that you need to keep track of. It's something that you need to remember, especially if you just switched your crystal. Do we really need this? Is it fun? I'm not sure. We'll have to playtest this a lot.
Yeah, that's where playtesting comes in.
Yeah, completely.
So much playtesting. So much. Well, so my quest to find Crystal Hearts is going to be going on to Kickstarter. November through when in December?
I think we're ending it on the 11th of December.
Okay. Oh, really? Nice. We're beginning in the 20 and then 3 weeks.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. So until December 11th, you have the opportunity to get on Kickstarter and secure your copy. Do you have any kind of idea of when you're going to be able to actually get those books delivered after the Kickstarter?
I don't think anyone running a Kickstarter fully knows that until after it succeeds.
We have very, very vague idea. Okay. Well, first of all, the book is not ready yet. We're still working on it.
Okay.
So it's going to be at least second half of 2019.
Sure.
Let's say last quarter.
Okay.
Especially for the physical products to ship and everything, because from the moment the book is finished, it's 3 more months until everything ships.
Ah, yes.
At least. At least.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have some estimated costs and stuff. Estimated costs, obviously, it's not going to be estimated. It's going to be costs.
Right.
We're going to have some costs
right.
and estimated delivery dates. But we are always open to discussion. We are really cool with people just asking us directly and stuff like that.
Right.
We'll try to be as transparent as we can afford to be.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, if you end up unlocking, like, all the stretch goals, there's going to be a lot of art.
Yes.
And you're going to have to draw that, aren't you?
I may have dug a hole that I can't get myself out of, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, it's...
No, I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited. Like, it's a ton of work, but it's all really cool work, and I want to see all those products out there. So hopefully, yes.
Yeah, that's terrific. And also, thank you for telling me more about Savage Worlds. I wasn't even aware that Savage Worlds was, like, a generic system. I actually thought that there was literally a Savage World, and I had to go to the Savage World, so...
That's what you get from the name, yeah.
That's what I got.
I get it.
Yeah, I did not know. Oh,
it's not happy-go-lucky worlds, Nathan.
No, it's not. Maybe we should... You know what, Alex? Maybe we should make a happy-go-lucky setting for Savage Worlds. And it's just people just hanging out. Okay. And we can call it Comfortable Worlds. It will be... Yeah. That's the next project.
Sounds great.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
It'll be the Comfort Inn.
Mundane Worlds. That sounds great.
This world.
Yeah.
The new world.
Yeah. Water World. Oh, no, they did that one.
Oh, no, they, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well. So I have a crystal heart, and Alex has a crystal heart, and I feel that now we all have a little bit of crystal in our heart, and you might need to see a doctor about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, you really do. Aviv Arana, thank you so much for coming on. And telling us
very much, Nathan.
Oh, right. Yeah, telling us all about that.
Yes.
Now, if folks were interested in, getting more information about up to four players, about Crystal Heart, is there a place that they can go on the internet?
So they can go to uptofourplayers.com, that's our website, or directly to uptofourplayers.com/Crystal Heart, that'll get them straight to the Kickstarter, where they can just, you know, read all about us there.
And so definitely check that out. It should be probably up when you're hearing this, so worthwhile. Now, Alex,
awesome.
Alex, out of curiosity, yes. If people wanted to know more about Delve or other Delve-related things, where could they go?
You can find more information about Delve over at delvecast.com.
Yes, and you can find all sorts of things there. You can even find an episode of Orbital, where an alien tries to lead three other characters I came up with in a generic campaign setting. I'll probably try to link that at some point, too. That went Perfect. As well as you could possibly hope. you can find Attempting to Play, all that good stuff over there. Please check out our Patreon. And thank you to our Shiny Level patrons, Bonnie Ainsworth and Dom Perry. If they were trying to find the two of you, Iran, Aviv, on any kind of social media, or if they were looking for more information about up to four players on Twitter, any of those, is there a way that they can get to you from those outlets?
Oh, definitely. They can also just look for @NNESK for me.
Okay.
And I am Aviv Orr on Twitter, and they can also look for up to four players on Twitter, Facebook, even Google Plus, for as long as it may survive. Instagram, wherever there is social, you can try to look for us there.
Okay, excellent. You can also find us on those platforms. I am @Citanium.
I am @EXPLimited. And the show is @DelvePodcast.
And as always, you can always find the show on iTunes and Google Play. And please rate and review and subscribe. I love to have stars. They're sort of like crystals, but for a digital medium. I need 5 crystals, but just crystal stars. And again, I just want to thank Aran and Aviv for coming on. And telling us all about up to four players and Crystal Heart and Savage Worlds and just getting me learned. Thank you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And from all of us here at Delve, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Alex, did you have any other questions that I haven't covered?
When will my hiccups go away?
Okay. Well, that I don't know.
December 1st.
December 1st.
I hope to have it way before that.
Well, after the Kickstarter is over on December 11th, magically, your hiccups will go away. Your hiccups are lasting exactly for the duration of the Kickstarter.
Oh.
Anyway, terrific. I am at Citanium.
I am at EXP Limited, and the show is at Delp.
Yeah, it's that.
And the show is at Delve Podcast.
Yeah, that's right. So you can
this
check out.
This is why we do editing in post.
This is why we do editing in post. For Alex's hiccup and peanut butter addiction.